The motorsports world is where legends are made, the unthinkable happens, and barriers are broken. One man harnesses the power of an industry every week. This is the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, with Jim Beaver.
Welcome to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Well, we are here once again with another dose of the show that's keeping you surviving through the pandemic, or something like that. But yeah, we are back to racing, though, in the real world. Yes, that is right. We've got something other than iRacing to talk about today, although we will be talking about iRacing. But yes, NASCAR is back. I know we don't heavily cover NASCAR on the show, but you know what? It's the only thing real in racing on the planet right now. We're going to talk about it. And because of that, I got my good friend Kelly Crandall. She's from Racer Magazine and the Racing Writers Podcast. She's going to be calling in for hour number two. We're going to be chatting about, pretty much all things that we've learned from NASCAR. And she was actually on site, one of only four media that was allowed on site there at Darlington, on the race this weekend. So we're going to have her on to talk about things and see the takeaways. And not only that, hour number one, man, we're bringing in a blockbuster. We're bringing in a big one, a blue chipper, a triple A guest, a Supercross legend, Chad Reed. Yes, we're going to have Chad Reed for a good half hour here in hour number one to kick off the show. So you don't want to go anywhere when you got one of the greatest of all times to ever sit on a dirt bike, Mr. Chad Reed, on air with you. So a lot of fun today. We're going to be talking about probably a little bit of iRacing, probably a little bit of, just news, rumors, all kinds of stuff coming out of the world of motorsports and the auto industry and everything in between. So we've got a fun show lined up. Another really, really good one to help you survive this Memorial Day weekend. Thanks to everybody tuning in at Dan Patrick Radio, Sirius XM Channel 211. Thank you, guys. Thanks to everybody tuning in on the Sports Byline Network, our troops overseas. Thank you so much. Everybody tuning in on AFN. If you're one of our hardcore listeners, you're listening at downanddirtyshow.com, Podcast One, or Apple Podcasts, thank you. Thanks to everybody who makes this show stay in business each and every week. Man, we had a big week last week on the sim racing front. I had my Jim Beaver Esports Triple Crown that we capped off. We are going to jump into talking about that after the break because I got to tell you, we had some of the best from the real world combined with some of the best in the sim world, and it made for a hell of a lot of fun. So that and a whole lot more coming up here in hour number one right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And we're kind of coming out the other side of this quarantine-ish pandemic thing that we're all kind of stuck at home over. You know, I got a little bit of mixed emotions on things at this point, but I guess the takeaway from all this is I think we've all learned a lot about each other during this time. I think, it's funny, you know, obviously we've got everything going on in politics and everything else aside. Like, one of the big takeaways, and I had this conversation with somebody the other day, and I didn't realize this is how I was going to open the show until I started talking, and yeah, that's the way we're going to do it, you know. But I had a lot of people talking about my esports event, and this isn't me self-promoting, but, it turned out to be really, really successful. And I start looking at what people have done during this period, and there's a lot of people in whether it be celebrities, whether it be motorsports, whether it be media, personalities that have kind of completely gone off the grid, right? They just haven't done a whole lot, you know, and rightfully so. They just went, they quarantined. And then there's other people who have found ways to stay relevant, create content, get interesting. I mean, there's amazing stuff being done with live video. Zoom, who would have thought who knew what a Zoom call was 3 months ago, right? Now all of a sudden, Zoom's like one of the biggest things in the world, right? Podcasts, I got my podcast production company. We've blown up. You know, we've launched, I believe, what, three or four new podcasts during this three with a fourth one that I know of. So four podcasts in the last 2 months for people because they're sitting at home and they need help, and boom, bam, done. Right. You know, and esports, I mean, I was highly, you know, lucky that, 2 years ago, I got involved in esports. Now, you know, we had a nice strong old foot, you know, in the door, and then all of a sudden that blew up, and we were right there in the thick of things, you know. And not only did I have my team competing, but now we were able to put on events and things like that, really drawing a crowd. And it's become kind of, now it goes hand in hand with real motorsports, and, you know, it's replaced it in a lot of regards. You know, obviously real motorsports is going to come back and things are going to change. And gosh, trust me, I'm an esports guy because, I got a big stake in the game there, but I, as much as anybody, want real motorsports to come back. You know, nothing replicates the real thing. None of us think it does. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you know, but for real, you know, it's been nice to have, you know, these personalities and, you know, come in and be able to race and compete, and people watch them on TV and online and on the streams and things like that, you know. But, you know, that's got, you know, spurred creativity. You've got my friend Katie Osborne, you know, she's got a drink with, and she's sitting down with different influencer celebrities every, you know, on social media and sitting down and talking with them over a drink virtually. You know what I mean? And, you know, people have got really highly creative during this time, and it's been kind of cool to watch. And I'm fortunate that I'm, small town, rural Arizona, tourist town, and obviously a lot of tourists have started coming in now, coming back. But, I can't talk to downtown New York, Boston, L.A., where I've got a lot of friends, and, you know, they're scared to leave because everybody's infected. Not everybody, but a good chunk, and it's very easy to get it. You know, I'm in rural Arizona where there's been like 40, a little over 40 cases in our entire county, right? And, you know, so it's not quite as prevalent here. So people are cautious, but they're not cautious like they are in L.A. or New York or Boston. But that being said, I think, you know, globally, this has spurred all kinds of content. You've got people thinking out of the box, doing things they never would have done. They're resting on their assets, their social following, things like that. They're going, how can we leverage this to give our partner support? Things like that. I look at, you know, the positivity that has come out of this pandemic, and I think digitally we have learned a lot. There's been a lot of people really, you know what I mean, deliver and really come up with some amazing out-of-the-box ideas that never would have happened if it hadn't been for this pandemic. So for that, I'm really excited, you know what I mean? I think also we've learned that there's been a lot of people, you know, that have learned that maybe you don't need to work quite as often from work. You can work from home. People have got creative in the way they work. You know, companies have got very creative in the way they market. You know, 6 months ago, some of the digital marketing we've seen now, obviously digital marketing became big, but they're investing in areas in the digital space they never would have before, or maybe they would have, but it pulled it forward a couple of years. You know, maybe they were looking at esports, maybe they're looking at podcasts, maybe they're looking at digital video content going, you know what, in the next 12 to 24 months, we need to be in that space. Now it's like, boom, right now, we got to be there now, like yesterday now. You know, and so for things like that, I'm really, really excited as we come out the other side of this pandemic and see, you know, how things are going to change. That being said, I think, you know, we're going to see a regression in these things. I've had a lot of people hit me up. What do you think? You know, what do you think about iRacing and esports? Is that the future? And I'm like, well, I don't think it's the future, but I think it's going to go hand in hand with the real thing. Now that it's got that mainstream coverage, people know it. It's accepted. It took podcasting a decade. I mean, I've been at this for a long time. This is, what, almost episode, 400 and something? Done 400 and something weekly episodes of this show, not to mention I've got all my other shows. You know, I've got over 1,000 episodes to my name, and trust me, at the start, it was tough. You know, people didn't understand it. They didn't push, you know, there was a lot of pushback. I didn't get paid a dime for at least 2 to 3 years because I had to educate people before I could, you know, before I could say, hey, here's your value. You know, they didn't understand it. And I think with these other digital mediums now, people do understand it. So that has me excited. You know, and I think these new mediums will go hand in hand with their real life and their traditional counterparts. You know, racing, I think once it comes back, people have been dying for racing, right? Dying for it, you know what I mean? And now we've got it. NASCAR, the ratings were phenomenal for Darlington, right? It was the only major motorsports event on the planet, literally, globally. All eyes are on NASCAR. We'll talk about that with Kelly Crandall in hour number two. But it's been, you know, it's been really, really cool to see that. And I think as IndyCar kicks back up, we got them in a couple of weeks, I think Supercross is going to have ratings through the roof for this finale of 7 races that they've got there in Salt Lake City. It's going to be huge. You know, and you know, Crandon, I think their live stream will do really, really well in June. And I think everything will, you know, and I think once attendance gets opened back up at these events, I think, man, you are going to have a lot of people once they know it's safe coming out, because we haven't been able to. People are, you know, they're salivating over that. They want that feeling. They want to go and grab a beer and some greasy cheese curds and a hot dog and, you know, and enjoy some races and high five and talk trash. You know, people are craving that, this isolation, even though we've got this digital connection with phones and Zoom and FaceTime and things like that and social media, man. People need that, you know, that interaction. And I think live events, concerts, stuff like that are just going to be, it's going to explode once people know it's safe to come out. And, you know, and that has me excited. But I think live sports content, whether it be motorsports or stick and ball, oh, my goodness. You know what I mean? That is going to be huge. I think people have been watching Netflix and Hulu and, you know, sitting back and just watching, you know, reruns and salivating over live sports content. That's why iRacing and esports has got so big during this time, is because, you know, it's live and it's real and people are racing. You know, even though it's digitally, they're competing. People want that. They want that feeling. And I think, you know, that's why when baseball comes back and they do their reduced schedule, obviously at some point we're going to get NHL and NBA playoffs, you know, and Major League Baseball is going to start. It's like an abbreviated, I think, 80-some game season they're talking about doing. But I think ratings are going to be sky high. I mean, absolutely sky high for that. You know what I mean? Probably some of the biggest ratings in baseball history because people are missing it. You know, in baseball, it's such a long season. People go, you know, I can miss a baseball game because there's always one tomorrow. NASCAR is the same way. There's so many NASCAR races. If you miss one on a weekend, big deal. There's one the next weekend, right? No big deal. Now, we haven't had them for a few months. Now people are like, no, I want that. I'm going to tune in. You know what I mean? There's more people paying attention to NASCAR now. Some maybe even hated NASCAR before, but it's the only thing on, and it's live. And you know what? We're tuned in. We're locked. We're loaded. We're not going to miss one of these things. You know, Coke 600 this weekend? Man, there's no Monaco Grand Prix. There's no Indy 500. Coke 600, you know, you want to talk about, you know, you had the three biggest motorsports events in the world all on the same day. Now you got one of them. You don't think everybody in the world's going to be tuned into the Coca-Cola 600 this weekend? Man, you're fooling yourselves. I hope it's a great race. It probably will be, you know, but there's going to be a lot of good come out of things. And I think as much as financially, a lot of industries got hurt by the pandemic. I think, you know, as we come out the other side, I think the money is definitely going to come back and they may end up being healthier than ever. I don't know. You know, we'll have to see, you know, but judging by, you know, what I'm seeing, I think, you know, a lot of good's going to come. But we're going to take a short break. Chad Reed will return here to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome Chad Reed back to the show. Chad, I'm trying to think back last time we had you on the show, man, and it was back when you had your own Supercross team back in, what, the 2-2 Motorsports days. Or man, it's been a while, buddy. Well, welcome back.
Yeah, good to be back. It's probably, pre-2015, that's when we shut down 2-2, so... good to be back on the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I know, man, we got a lot to cover. This year has been a little bit interesting. I guess we should open up by saying, Supercross is back, man. I know, this one, we'll talk about your retirement here in a little bit, but you got a couple of rounds of racing. You go, what, 7-8 rounds we got lined up there in Salt Lake City after a 2-month break? I mean, you've been staying in the gym, staying fit, right? Because that's got to be a pretty tough layoff to all of a sudden just take 2 months off in the middle of the season and go back and jump on a dirt bike.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been, interesting times for sure. I mean, it's not often do you get to do a reset button, what do we got? 7 races to go.
Yeah.
And obviously there's just been so much unclear. Like, you know, initially we were told we're going to go back October, you know, September, October. Now we're going back at the end of May. So I'm excited, to be honest with you. Like, I had some kind of niggling little injuries that I was dealing with throughout the season. So I didn't get to come into the season like as prepared as I really wanted to. And, I started to get a little bit of traction, and then I actually re-broke some ribs in Phoenix Supercross. So the beginning of the season was a real kind of a bit of a drag, to be honest. Like, it was like I couldn't really get my head above water. And I feel like this break, I've just used it. I wouldn't say that, like, I'm in the best shape of my life, but more than anything, just I've used it to heal up and then kind of get, like, myself where I got my base fitness and health back. So it's been a nice little reset. I'm really excited about going back racing and getting back to what we call normal, you know, like going and putting on a put on a helmet, and unfortunately we won't have fans, which is going to be really kind of strange, I think. But, you know, I think that once the gate drops, everything's going to, you know, start feeling a little bit more normal.
Yeah, well, you know, and I guess, you know, you say normal, and then I guess my next question is going to be, you know, obviously Supercross is a grind, man. It's, you know, weekend after weekend after weekend after weekend, you know, just back to back to back to back. And the only other motorsport we really see that in is NASCAR, you know. And, you know, my question is now all of a sudden, you know, we've got seven rounds left, but not only back to back weekends, but we're throwing a race in the middle of the week as well. I mean, how does that throw everything in a tailspin? Because you've got your routine midseason where, you know, you race Saturday night, you travel Sunday. You know, you have your routine of training and, you know, getting on the bike and things like that. I mean, this kind of throws everything you've known for your entire career out the window, right, with these two races a week.
Totally. And then I think, I hope that that kind of plays into my, you know, more my strength than anything. I'm not a, like, I know a lot of people that I've been around over the years, you know, like a lot of people get really caught up in their routine, and if they don't ride midweek or they don't ride multiple days a week, and you know, like they get a little bit thrown off of, you know, their normal, and then they kind of struggle on the weekend. I go more of a little bit like, if I feel like riding, I go ride. If I don't, I kind of just do my gym work or whatever it is, you know. So like, I, for me, it's always been like racing and riding has always been exciting to me, and I've always tried to keep it like that, and maybe why I'm still around at 38 years old. So I hope that this works for me in the fact that, you know, like we get to go riding. I don't really, there will be no riding during the week. We'll race, you know, Sundays and Wednesdays. We're going to try to make a trip out of it. You know, I'm taking my family out to, you know, Utah. We're going to rent a house in Park City. And, you know, at the end of the day, this is my retirement tour. And, you know, you take the fans away from, you know, from racing, and that's kind of everything why I was doing a tour in the beginning. So so for me, it's about having my family there. Unfortunately, my kids won't be at the races because no one under 18 is allowed. But, you know, just having them there and during the week and, you know, showing them a new place and location will be fun for us. It'll be kind of our summer vacation before summer.
Yeah, well, man, renting a house in Park City. I'm going, well, you're going to be neighbors there with Ken Block. I'm sure he's got some toys and stuff to keep you guys occupied since you can't ride during the middle of the week, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think might lean on Ken and see what toys he's got to play with. We really should just bust out his rally car and go drive that thing, I think.
He's got a bunch of them there too. That's the thing. I've been up there and done some shows from there, and he's got some stuff in hiding that people don't see. And I go in that back room, I'm like, oh man, we need to have some fun. You need to bring this out more often. He's got a lot of toys people don't know
about. Yeah, totally. I've been there myself, and I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So, you know, all that being said, you know, you announced your retirement at the end of last year and said, hey, this is going to be it. I think I'm excited you came back for one final season, things like that. I mean, kind of, I want to talk about, you know, kind of your announcement, because you're retiring from Supercross and from dirt bikes, but it left the door open. You said, look, like I found something that still scratches my itch, you know, and that's racing cars. I mean, how did that kind of all evolve? And I know you've done some stuff, you know, in Lamborghinis and things like that. You were out at 24 Hours of Daytona this year. But, I mean, how did that, you know, how did that all get put together? And, I mean, obviously, you know, we see with Supercross riders, it seems like everybody, you know, McGrath's had to find that itch somewhere. And it seems like you go down the list and everybody's had to find that itch after Supercross. And it seems like car racing, that you found it, man.
Yeah, no, I did for sure. And it really fueled the, you know, the thoughts of, you know, moving onto something different. You know, for the longest time, a lot of people were starting to ask, you know, when you start getting into your early 30s to mid 30s, everyone starts asking the question, when is retirement, you know, an option? And up until last summer, when I did the Lamborghini Super Trofeo series, it actually was never on my mind. Like, I just loved riding my dirt bike. I enjoyed it. It was my every thought that I had. And then, you know, suddenly this Lamborghini thing and racing sports cars, it started consuming my every thought. And at that point, I just acknowledged that I felt like that was the changing of the guard for me. And I felt that I was, you know, I was, a lot of the things that fueled my racing and, you know, kept it fun for me all these years, a lot of those same things were now all thoughts about how do I go faster? How do I get better? How do I learn? How do I understand the balance of the race car? You know, analyzing data, all these crazy things that you have access to from a you know, sports car world. And then suddenly I was just like, you know what, this is my science, and I've enjoyed my career fully, and I felt like I got the most out of it, and now it's time to move on and do something different. This whole pandemic has obviously thrown a little bit of a wrench in it, and, you know, sponsorship and money and things like that are obviously, you know, a little bit, you know, everybody's unsure what's going to be the outcome on the backside of this. So the hope and the goal is to go Lamborghini racing again this year, after Supercross, but there's no set in stone, plan at this point.
Yeah. Well, you know, and talking about car racing, I mean, is part of it because you've accomplished pretty much everything you can on a dirt bike, you know, outside of going and racing in Baja or Dakar or something. But, I mean, Supercross, you're a champion. You've got, you know, what, fourth on the all-time win list. I mean, you know, you've accomplished pretty much everything you can do on a dirt bike. You know, is you looking at this car racing thing going, oh, man, this is like being a rookie again. This is starting from scratch. Like, I get to learn everything again, you know. And to me, it's like, you know, you seem like a guy who always wants to learn, who always wants to get better. And you topped out in Supercross, and now it's like, oh, but here's this door over here, and I can go back from the, you know, start all over again. This is kind of exciting, you know?
Yeah, and I think that the one thing that I love so much about my sport of, you know, motorcycles and Supercross is, you know, though by numbers people view you as older, I don't think that 38 is old. You know, I think that you're just basically finding out who you are and what you are, what you can do in the world. But for me, I think that Supercross keeps you young, you know, like you're forever around young people. So, you know, keeping up and, you know, working out and doing all these crazy things that you got to do to race Supercross keeps you grounded and young, I think. So for me, I got plenty of years ahead of me on that. The racing car thing just, it gives me the itch to get out and learn. And I think the racing is the easy part, because all my years of racing, you know, I've been, 30 plus years of racing under my belt, cars or bikes, for the most part, the way the mind works and how you go racing, it's all the same. It's just learning new things, you know, on a motorcycle. There's a lot of things that I naturally do because I've been doing it since I was 3.5 years old. So when you do it in a car, you do it and you pick it up, but it takes understanding it first. The balance of the race car and the weight and the transition, on a motorcycle, I can move my body around. In a race car, I'm strapped into a car seat, and, you know, the only tools I have are the steering wheel, a throttle, and a brake. Those are the things that, you know, allow me to maneuver around a racetrack in a car. So just kind of understanding those things and getting a full understanding and grasp of that, has been, you know, a fun challenge for me and something that I want to learn more about.
And we'll continue on with more with this interview with Chad Reed when we come back after the break. But I do want to remind those of you listening in, if you are going to get the itch like Chad Reed has for a little iRacing, use the coupon code PR-JimBeaver. That's going to get you 50% off. Yeah, a whopping 50% off when you sign up for a new account there at iRacing. So check out iRacing if you want to get into this racing. You know, obviously everybody is sitting at home. You're looking for some sim racing. You want to scratch the itch and go racing. And who knows, maybe you'll end up on the grid against somebody like Chad Reed one of these days. But PR-JimBeaver, that's going to get you 50% off. Yeah, a big whopping 50% off there at iRacing. So we are going to take a short commercial break. We return more with this interview here with Chad Reed on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than
Polaris and their award-winning lineup of RZR vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a RZR 170 like me, take the entire family out in a RZR XP 4-1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new RZR XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris RZR. Check out the full Polaris RZR lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris RZR. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR. We're catching up with Supercross legend, the guy that is fourth on the all-time win list in Supercross, number one on the list of all-time career podiums, Mr. Chad Reed. Well, Chad,
but I guess one of the things that I guess surprised me, it, not that you were going car racing, because I think, you know, there's been a lot of guys transition from Supercross and motocross into car racing. But you going the road racing route and sports car racing, I mean, a lot of guys, it would have been you go from dirt bikes and you kind of move over and you start doing short course or off-road trucks or rallycross. Or rally or something in the dirt. You know, UTV racing has become big, but like you to go, you know, that route that you did sports cars. I mean, what was the specific draw there versus say, you know, going, you know, rally or off-road racing?
For me, like I've always had a passion for the roads. You know, when you look at my childhood and where I grew up in Australia and, you know, some of the greatest of greats, you know, road racing world all came out of Australia, you know, Mick Doohan, Wayne Gardner, Casey Stoner, you know, Anthony Gobert, all these people that were, you know, pre me and my, you know, kind of my generation that I looked up to. I, at one point I thought my ticket out of Australia to, you know, to take on the world was actually going road racing. Mom and dad put some cold water on that and kind of dashed it. And obviously the motorcycle route didn't end up being a bad choice, but I've always had a passion for the road. And, I feel like I've lived a life in dirt, you know, like when I think of retiring and my wife and kids going, hanging out at events, you know, post motorcycles, I don't know that going and hanging out in short course dirt is my ideal. Actually it's not mine, but it's definitely, I can promise you, not my wife's ideal way of retiring. So I think that, more of that, just a change. We want something different. I love rally. I would choose rally over off-road trucks all day long. I don't know why. I have a passion for rally as well. I was really fortunate 2 years ago. I got to do Monza Rally. And that was really fun. But yeah, that's really it. Just really something different, something that I've always had a passion for. And now, you know, obviously I wouldn't go pursue a road racing career at this point. With age, get a cage, they tell me. So we're going that route.
Yeah, well, all that being said, I mean, you'd mentioned rally cars. I know you've been having a little bit of fun on iRacing. How did that all come together? Because it seems like, I know I had you in one of my off-road events. I mean, you know, I know our good friend TP, you and him have, you and Travis got a little bit of a rivalry going on. I mean, how did the whole iRacing thing open up?
Yeah, the iRacing thing, I got invited to the IRX, championship on iRacing. And then really just one thing led to another. Then obviously I was like, man, that really sounds fun. Like there's no racing. There really wasn't this is going back 8 weeks ago. There was no, short term plan to go racing. So I basically, scrambled and we got a sim together and one thing led to another. It was just, for me, the iRacing platform is such a rad platform. I mean, to think of somebody who grew up in Australia and I can go, choose a V8 supercar and go drive it at all these iconic tracks all over the world. I just think that you're kind of giving, like you're opening the world up to be endless. It's like, to go drive a real V8 supercar all over, at Spa or Daytona International Speedway or something like that. Just last night in Australia, the V8 series actually raced their pro series at Charlotte Motor Speedway and Daytona. Lando Norris was a celebrity driver in it. And so I just think that you're really opening, you're broadening the gap. The huge gap from Australia to the rest of the world is so small now. It's a click of a button. You can jump in a car and that's how it really kind of led one thing to another. Travis and I have always had this, we have a great relationship. We're really good friends and been friends for a long time. And it's always about, he's never beat me on a dirt bike. So it's always, he kind of considers himself more of a four wheel guy. And so that's continued into the four wheel online racing now.
Yeah. I think it's funny because every single time you watch a race, it's just all Travis is. I got to beat Chatterita. He doesn't care if he finishes 20th as long as you're 21st.
Exactly. And that's, we've kind of created our own little league within it. And, now it's kind of like we're doing this LCQ league and Connor Daly, Alexander Rossi, Jane Hincliffe, Travis, myself, Bilko, a few of the group of, guys that we were basically just, it started out having a good laugh on Discord and one thing led to another. Now we're actually, your event was really what got us going when we were doing your off-road truck thing. And, I was on there for hours. We did, I think we did two tracks and we raced Pro 2, then Pro 4, then Pro 2, Pro 4. And yeah, that really fired up, all of us, like just, going from different vehicles, like going from a Pro 2 to a Pro 4 was so different and so unique. And so, yeah, I mean, just, I love that it's basically endless on what you can achieve on that side of it.
Yeah. And it's funny too, cause you don't even realize it, but you're a little bit of a gateway into the whole iRacing thing for people. So this is actually going back before my event that you came and did. I text out a bunch of buddies, and Travis one of them and things like that. And then you got brought in by them, but I text Toby Price, who he and I are good friends. I said, Toby, I said, you want to do this? He goes, man, I'd love to. I'm doing some V8 supercar stuff. But he's like, they're loaning me a sim rig to be able to do it. He's like, I don't own one. I won't be able to get one for that weekend. And then you race, and then Toby, he starts texting me. He's like, well, I didn't know Chad Reed was racing. He's like, I want to race Chad Reed. And I just start laughing.
That's,
I'm like,
funny.
Man, we're going to have you and Toby.
Toby and I just did we just did a celebrity race. It was actually brutal for me. I don't know if I need to wait until racing's over. But in the summertime when I've got no racing commitments, I want to sign up for more. But I did a celebrity race at Bathurst in a V8 supercar in Australia. And from what I understand, the TV ratings and everything was through the roof. I mean, it was like kind of the who's who of Australian sporting, old and young, current, past, Mick Doohan, like some of my childhood heroes were in it, and Toby and I we got to do some battling. I ended up second overall. I don't know where Toby actually ended up. He may still be upside down. I don't know if you've ever seen any highlights on it, but you should check it out. It's hilarious. Toby flipped and unfortunately didn't get flipped back over. So he just stayed on his upside. He just stayed upside down the whole race, waiting for someone else to hopefully hit him.
Well, you know what I think's funny too is talking about that. I mean, let's talk about Australia a bit. I think a lot of Americans don't realize how big motorsports are in Australia. I mean, whether you're talking motorcycles or you're talking, you know what I mean, I guess V8 supercars, which is huge. And I think a lot of people in the States recognize V8 supercars at this point. But, I mean, there's a whole motorsports culture in Australia it's massive, man. And I don't think a lot of people here in the United States, they actually realize how big it actually is in Australia.
Totally. And, you know, like, obviously America has, you know, you got 300 plus million people, where Australia, we've only got 22 million people. So, you know, the demand for everything is so much lower. And so therefore, like, our motorsport is actually quite big, because, you know, I think that, you know, like, we don't have an NBA to compete with. We don't have the NFL. We have an NFL, you know, equivalent. We have kind of two football leagues down there. Soccer's kind of hit and miss down there, you know, but as far as, like, we didn't have the NBA or the MLB and things like that to compete with, so motorsport is on equal par. And though NASCAR is big here in the U.S., when you think of an NBA or the NFL or the MLB, you know, it's not quite there, where we don't have that, you know, competition. So yeah, like, motorsport's always been a huge, huge part of, you know, the Australian culture and what I love, you know, so much about it.
Yeah, well, and, you know, and I look at things too, is, you know, I take a step back from a fan standpoint, you know, and I look at it from that standpoint, but I'm like, you know, you look at what's come out of Australia in the last 20 years. I mean, you've got, obviously, you, one of the most accomplished supercross riders of all time. You got Toby Price, who, you know, he's still hitting the prime of his career and he's killing it at Dakar. You got Mark Webber, who, you know, is going to go down as one of the all-time, you know, Formula One, you know, favorites, you know, and he's won a ton of races, you know. And I look, you talk about, you know, the smaller population of Australia, and I look and I go, but look at the talent that's coming out of Australia with that smaller population. It's insane, Chad.
It really is crazy. And then I don't know how closely you follow, you know, the racing world, but, you know, like, obviously the feeder series to F1 is F3. And if you look at the grid, the amount of Australians is insane. Like, it's actually quite exciting. You know, and I have to be honest, I don't, you know, follow F3. But a good friend of mine, Mick Doohan's son, Jack Doohan, who just, I think he's like 17, 18 years old, you know, is basically getting his feet wet and starting it, you know, trying to head towards the, you know, the goal of being in F1. And obviously he has his dad that's, you know, is one of the, not only Australia's greats, but I mean, he's considered a great within the world of racing. You know, he's got Red Bull behind him and stuff like that. So yeah, I obviously follow that now. And I just realized the other day, I was kind of checking out the entry list and I'm like, wow, the amount of Australians in F3, you know, that are on path to try to go to Formula One is unbelievable. So, pretty exciting times.
Yeah, it definitely is. Well, let's circle back as we kind of close out here and talk about these, you know, next seven races, I guess, in Supercross, man. I mean, obviously, you know, you're prepared. You got the family. You guys are going to be heading to Salt Lake for a better part of a month. But, you know, what are the goals here? I mean, you know, obviously you're coming in fresh. You know, you think you, you know, what are the odds here we can see maybe Chad Reed sneak on a podium here to cap things off?
You know, I think first things first, I think to, you know, obviously the pipe dream is always to be on the podium, right? That's the ultimate of our sport. And, you know, I've been able to do that. So, you know, more than anybody in the history of the sport, to be honest with you. But, you know, at this point, the way the season's gone, I'll be super excited to just be back into the pointy end of the pack and, you know, riding the way I want to. That's the goal for me, you know, like, do I want to be on the podium? Absolutely. But, you know, if you rewind 8 weeks, you know, I was struggling to, you know, get into the top 12. So, at this point I feel like we've made progress, you know, I feel healthy again. I feel like my fitness is, you know, is, I wouldn't say it's like at the 100% where it needs to be, like as far as the big scheme of things, but I feel healthy again and I feel excited. And that's the biggest thing for me. So I want to concentrate on getting good starts, get up front, and then just put myself in positions to capitalize on, you know, on all the things that I'm aware of that you need to do. So I think if we can do that, one thing will lead to another, and I think we'll get the old Chad back. It'll be nice.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we say retirement, but we all know it's always kind of a loose concept. I mean, any outliers out there where you're like, oh, it would be fun to go and do like a straight rhythm or, you know, something like that, you know, where you got your eye on, it's like, yeah, maybe I'd come back and do something like that.
Yeah. For me, I think it needs to be very clear. And I've said it in other interviews. My retirement is my retirement from full-time racing. I love motorcycle racing and the thought of, you know, 7 races from now, that being my last ever motorcycle race is something that I think is a dream. Like it's never going to happen. I think that, you know, my short and long-term goal is to be able to race a motorcycle as long as I can. I no longer have the drive, the motivation, or the desire to race 17 races in 18 weeks anymore. But I certainly enjoy riding my dirt bike, and I still enjoy getting out and working out, and, you know, whatever. So, you know, the straight rhythm events, maybe one-off supercross events here and there, I still want to be able to participate in those things. So, yeah, though you won't see me on a, you know, week-to-week basis, I surely want to, you know, be able to play a role and get out and do some motorcycle races.
Awesome. Well, Chad, it's been fun, man. I'm stoked to have you back on the show. And, you know, we'll definitely be tuned into NBC, you know, watching you throw down these last 7 races. And, you know, best of luck, man. I'm sure we'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Good to just chat.
And we'll be back to wrap things up here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We'll return after this short break.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Yeah, we are, I guess, saying adios here on hour number one. This is Sirius XM, you know, Channel 211, Dan Patrick Radio. Those of you tuning on Sports Byline, you got hour number two coming your way. If you're Apple Podcast, Down and Dirty Show, Podcast One listener, yeah, you're getting hour number two as well. AFN, same thing. So, yeah, Chad Reed, thank you, Chad, for the amazing interview and the time today. Looking forward to seeing him wrap up, you know, Supercross season here in Salt Lake City in a couple of weeks. Man, that is a lot of – you want to talk about driving a race car twice a week, that takes a lot out of you. Riding a dirt bike in those, you know, in those main events for that long, man – that takes some endurance twice a week. So I am looking forward to seeing how Supercross plays out. But I think guns are gonna be blazing when we hit Salt Lake City. These guys have got some pin-up aggression. Elbows are going to be out, and we are getting for a wild, wild ride come Salt Lake City in a couple of weeks. So I am definitely looking forward to that. That is for sure. So, you know, thank you, Chad Reed. Coming up, hour number two, we got Kelly Crandall booked for a couple of, you know, a couple of great, great segments. I'm looking forward to having her on the show, being able to catch up on what happened at site or on site at NASCAR as NASCAR is back underway. And she was one of the few journalists on ground there at Darlington. And it's going to be great to get her feedback and see, you know, see how things are and were and, you know, what's to come in the world of NASCAR and probably a little bit of motorsports in general. So looking forward to having Kelly Crandall on here in, you know, hour number two as well. So, yeah, we are going to take a short break. And when we return, we got a whole lot more, a whole nother hour of radio right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Don't go anywhere.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor, kicking off hour number two. Thanks to everybody tuning in on Sports Byline USA, Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, DownandDirtyShow.com, or wherever you are tuning in, especially our friends over there in the military on the AFN, the American Forces Network. Thank you for continuing to support the show. Hour number two, we got my good friend Kelly Crandall calling in. You know her from Racer Magazine. She is going to tell us a little bit about what happened there at Darlington. Yes, she was there for the first race back, one of only four media members in attendance, and she is going to give us a lowdown on all things NASCAR and what to expect moving forward in the world of motorsports. And then we've got my good friend Chris Leone with iRacing and also my media director. You know him from our Power Rankings. Well, yeah, not a whole heck of a lot to power rank right now. But, yeah, we have him on the show, and, you know, we're going to talk iRacing, motorsports, and I don't know how things are looking as we kind of progress out of this pandemic and stay-at-home orders and kind of go back to some normalcy in the world of motorsports. So should be a good time, you know, having Chris on the show.
Those of you just joining us, please, if you have a moment, I know you might be listening nationally, I appreciate it, but we do have a big presence there on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Please go over there, hit the subscribe button to the show, and if you got any questions for Chris or Kelly Crandall, hit me up on social media. It's at JimBeaver15. I do take questions on Twitter for the show, and we'll get those cycled in and asked to our guests. So those of you, you know, just joining us, thanks a lot for that as well, and you know, I love getting those fan questions. So, yeah, we've got a lot to come here, though, in hour number two. Maybe dive into the IndyCar schedule as well. I know IndyCar schedule is out. You know, big news is Road America was supposed to be run there in June. They pushed it back into July. Wisconsin, you know, all the stay-at-home orders out the window. It's a free-for-all in Wisconsin. So we are going to have fans in attendance for a doubleheader at Road America in Wisconsin. You know, here later on over the summer. So that's going to be the first week of July. Looking forward to that. Crandon coming in June, and they are going to have fans in attendance there as well. So we'll dive into that and some of you know, those announcements later on in the show as well. So lots coming at you in the world of motorsports here in hour number two. Chris Leone later on, but up next is going to be Kelly Crandall here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it, so when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crandon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my good friend Kelly Crandall to the line from Racer Magazine and the Racing Riders Podcast.
Kelly, you're one of the few in the country that has actually been on site at some NASCAR races. I guess first and foremost, we had some fireworks last night, but how has that been? Because I got a feeling it's got to be a little bit of an eerie feeling being at the track.
Yeah, it was different. I wouldn't necessarily say eerie. It was just different, unique. You know, you go to the racetrack, you expect to navigate your way through normal race day traffic, get there early, go past tailgaters and campers and full parking lots, and to roll right up and not have any of that, that's the part that was different. That was really unique. That's when it hits you that, okay, we're doing something here that is not what we're used to. But once you get in the press box and racing starts, it's same old, same old. And the infield was pretty packed with haulers and motorhomes and personal vehicles, safety vehicles, and all that. So it looked pretty normal. You could convince yourself it was just like any other race weekend, but definitely different in terms of being in the press box, not being able to go anywhere, not being able to chase anybody down after the race is over. So there's little reminders along the way that we're doing things differently nowadays.
Yeah, you know, and I guess that's one of the big takeaways for me is, like, being a media person, I've been – you know, you go into a media center generally and, you know, there's a couple hundred, you know, journalists and radio people and broadcasters and things like that. And then, you know, and obviously press box, things like that. And to me, it's got to be weird because, I mean, you're one of the select few that has been able to go on site. And normally you can say hi to friends. I don't know. To me, there's a social aspect to it. And, you know, and I feel like now it's got to be just a little bit weird. You know, you've got the places where they're permitting you to go. You can do things in a certain procedural manner. And aside from that, it's kind of, you don't have a lot of flexibility, right?
Yeah, I think what makes it so unique is being one of the ones who's at the first race. You know, the longer we do this, it's going to become a new normal, which I hate to use that phrase, but it will become a new normal. To be one of the four that was at the first race back in 10 weeks, that made it unique. And so many people were curious of how it was working, what was going on. They wanted to know who was there and what you could do. So, yeah, you're confined to the press box, which at Darlington is over in Turn 3, so that takes away a lot of your view because you don't get the front stretch. You're not getting to see what's going on pit road. So only being able to go to the press box, like I said, you can't walk around the garage. You don't get that personal interaction. You only have three other media members who are with you. So it takes away a lot of what makes this job interesting and what makes this job unique, and that's personal interaction, going and talking to people, networking, you know, seeing your sources, and then post-race chasing down drivers or crew chiefs, whoever it may be. So to not do that and only be allowed to go to the press box and not be allowed to roam the property is very, very interesting.
Yeah. Do you feel a little bit, just as a journalist, I know, like, I mean, you know, I've been following you on Twitter for years, but I feel like now during the NASCAR races, like, I'm honed in on Kelly Crandall's social media because I feel like I'm living vicariously through you. I think there's a lot of other people in the country doing the same thing, you know, because you're one of the few that are on site. You can kind of give us a story and things like that. I mean, have you got any feedback in regards to that? You know what I mean? Just because you are one of the few. I mean, you know, you feel a little pressure on you to deliver since you're one of the few that can actually go to the track.
Well, I did on Sunday. I was there on Sunday and I said, okay, what can I do that will be different than what people are seeing at home? So I tried to post a few videos or a few photos just showing the racetrack, the condition of the racetrack, you know, showing pace laps just to show that cars are back on the racetrack a little bit different than what you're seeing on TV. I was not in Darlington on Wednesday. I wasn't there for the Xfinity race. So what I've been trying to do in that instance is just, you know, give shout outs to the people who are there because media members are being rotated in and out of races. So, hey, go follow these people if you want more of a feeling of what's going on live and things like that. But yeah, it's a little bit more pressure. And even being at home, I feel like it's more pressure because I feel like a lot of people are paying attention, whether it's your normal followers or people now who are really hungry for content. So it's like, how can I just better utilize social media? How can I better utilize what I'm saying, the information I'm putting out there? What information could I be putting out there that maybe I don't think about before, that I just take for granted? So definitely trying to step up the social media game, and certainly we'll keep doing that when I get rotated into more races. Just what can I provide being at the racetrack that people aren't getting watching at home?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, in regards to that, I feel like, you know, shift gears here a little bit and talk about NASCAR as a whole, because they stepped up. They said, hey, we're going back racing. We've got procedures we're putting in place. We think we can do this right. And, you know, I said it, you know, a week ago on the show, I said, you know, they put themselves out there. I mean, IndyCar, they're starting up in June. You know, I think Supercross, we're a couple of weeks out from their return. Formula One, you know, they've been delayed. NHRA is delayed. I mean, the major, major heavy hitters have all kind of sat on the sidelines. NASCAR, you know, even stick and ball sports aren't back yet. NASCAR was the first major sanctioning body of any type in the world to put on an event. And I feel like, you know, they had a lot of pressure on their shoulders on Sunday to deliver as well. I mean, did you get that feeling? Because, I mean, there's always got to be a first in NASCAR. You know, they stepped up to the plate, and I feel like they delivered.
Oh, absolutely. There's absolutely tons of pressure on everybody. I think about it. I mean, there's pressure to just get the sport restarted, because the longer that hiatus went on, the more of a struggle it becomes for teams to be financially, you know, able to keep going, paying their bills and paying their employees, because you're not getting any TV money, you're not getting any charter money, you're not getting any sponsor money. So there was tremendous pressure to get the sport restarted just to be able to keep teams around. And then, as one of the first live sports back, there's so many eyeballs that are watching, just waiting for somebody to screw up, waiting for, you know, can we point fingers and say, well, they rushed back and they put people in danger, or they rushed back and they're not taking it seriously. So there's tremendous pressure for people to do this and do it right. And so far, it seems like everything is going well. We have not yet heard if anybody has contracted the virus or, you know, anything on that level. So hopefully that stays like that the longer we go on. So people are taking it seriously when it comes to wearing masks and social distancing, because it's very important. It's very, very important when you're one of the first sports back that everybody is watching to show that, A, you can do it. You can do it properly. You can bring back a sense of normalcy, but you also are taking it seriously with all of the safety protocols, and everything that NASCAR has put in place has just looks like it's working flawlessly, to be honest. The people that I've talked to have said the same thing. They've been very impressed. It seems everybody is taking it seriously. But, yeah, there's tremendous pressure to not only do it, but keep doing it the right way. And hopefully everybody stays safe and we don't have to stop again.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the teams. You know, we've been talking about NASCAR and journalists and things like that. But how are the teams approaching this? Because we're in a stretch here where, you know, we've got these doubleheader weeks, and, you know, obviously we've seen short weeks before when there's been a rain delay and they've had to finish races on Monday and things like that and then turn around and go into the next weekend. But, I mean, this, you know, these running two races a week, I mean, you know, teams, you know, the approach has got to be completely different. Not only that, but I want to say race weekends or race days, I mean, everything's structured completely different than what, you know, they're used to. I mean, how's the team's approach been to this, you know? And obviously, you know, running, you know, we've gone from a couple months off where people were literally sitting at home at times of the year when they never were, to now all of a sudden we're running two races a week. I mean, how has this affected the teams? I mean, what are you hearing? What's the approach? I mean, you know, obviously they're ramped up for the long haul because they're going to have a grueling summer stretch.
Yeah. So, you know, I talked to a few teams going into the first Darlington race of just how do you approach, because at that time we knew we were racing at Darlington and Charlotte. So we're running about 4 cup races in 11 days. So I talked to people of how do you approach that? What's the logistics of running races like that? What are the logistics of running multiple races at the same racetrack? So for these first couple races, what has been made easier on teams is the fact that they're running at intermediate tracks. So they're able to utilize the cars that they had already prepared for Atlanta and Homestead, which were the races we would have been at right as we got shut down. So they're able to turn those cars around, utilize those cars in their fleet, and be able to, you know, have some place to start. It was not like we were announcing the schedule and NASCAR said, hey, we're going to a short track or we're going to a road course, which there's no cars prepared for that. So teams are able to first utilize those, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of days in the shop. Now that they've gotten back in their shops, it's a lot of times busting, you know, long hours turning these cars around, especially if you're not bringing the same car back to the second race. You know, some teams did not do that for the second Darlington. Some teams did, so you just slap a right side on it if you banged it off the wall. So there's a lot of logistics going into it of just working long hours, working, you know, long days, multiple days of how can we make this work? How can we do it to the best of our ability? So it's 9 days. But at the same time, you know, these teams were prepared for it.
And we'll be back with more with Kelly Crandall when we return here to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle's speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Available live online, in syndication, on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. We've got my good friend Kelly Crandall from Racer Magazine and the Racing Writers Podcast on the line. And, you know, before we went to break, Kelly, we were talking about, NASCAR teams, this long break, and being prepared.
Well, you know, and talking about being prepared, I mean, obviously one of the big ones, I mean, one of the crown jewels of the NASCAR schedule is coming up this weekend, the Coca-Cola 600, you know, and Memorial Weekend has always been, you know, traditionally the biggest weekend of the year for motorsports fans. I mean, with Monaco Grand Prix, the Coke 600, you've got the Indy 500. You know, this year, of the big three, we've got one left standing, and that is the Coke 600. One, I'm looking at, the amount of global eyeballs that I think are going to be, at the event. I mean, obviously this is a home race for the NASCAR teams. I mean, what are we expecting this weekend, especially after what we've seen the previous, Wednesday and Sunday, these previous two races?
Well, I was speaking to somebody recently, and I said that, you know, now is when it really starts to feel weird, because you get to Memorial Day weekend and you're so used to so many races on that Sunday, and you have a routine of waking up early, watching Monaco, then you go to the Indy 500, and then you settle in for a very long night with the Coke 600, and there's none of that this year except for the Coke 600. So now it feels weird, and it feels weird because for myself personally, not being at the racetrack when, you know, Charlotte is right in our backyard. So for the Coke 600, I think it's going to be a long night like it always is. I think you're going to see the same teams rise to the occasion that are good at intermediate tracks, that are good at Charlotte. You know, there'll be a little bit normalcy because there will be qualifying earlier in the day, which is a little different having it on the same day as the race, but teams will get to qualify, so drivers will get to be on track and basically shake their cars down before they get in it for 600 miles. So we'll get to talk about qualifying again and see who can go out there and bust the lap off. So that'll be good to have a little bit of kind of normalcy there, but I don't expect anything different than what we've already seen. It's going to be a long race. It's going to be a grueling race. It's going to be, you know, who's good at the intermediates. I think you're going to see all the same drivers at the top, the Stewart Haas cars, the Toyotas, have shown speed the last couple weeks, and Hendrick cars have been very fast. So I expect to see all that. And then when you move into a Wednesday race, I was also discussing this with somebody else recently that asked me about it. I think it's really cool that NASCAR is doing more of what we're used to with the Sunday races for Darlington and Charlotte, where you're having full length, full distance 500-mile races on Sunday, and then you're doing shorter races on weekdays. You're not drawing it out all night on a Wednesday night for people. It's a short race, so the intensity levels seem to be a little bit higher at Darlington. Granted, you can say that was also due to the rain. So I expect the same at Charlotte. It's going to be a shorter race on a Wednesday night. The teams are going to turn around real quick after Sunday afternoon. If anybody has a bad day in the Coke 600, they're going to be, you know, chomping at the bit to go on Wednesday night and kind of redeem themselves. So I think that will make for a good race. So I really like this whole dynamic we have right now, which is running two races at the same racetrack and seeing how differently things change from one race to another, and seeing how different teams can be from one race to another, because, you know, there are some guys that were good on Sunday at Darlington that struggled, you know, after that. So on Wednesday night, you know, look at somebody like a Kurt Busch. So I'm really looking forward to more of that in Charlotte.
Yeah, well, you know, you want to talk. I mean, I'm looking at things. One guy that was running up front at both events, I mean, we've got to talk about, I think, is Chase Elliott. I mean, I feel like, you know, whatever happened, you know, they've come out and they've been shot out of a cannon. Obviously, he had the mishap there with Kyle Busch. But I got to say, that number nine, it's looking pretty strong, Kelly.
The Hendrick cars have looked really good all year in terms of just the direction they're going with getting their hands around this package. I think last year they were all right. You know, the year before that they were okay. But Chase Elliott was really the guy that was leading the charge. It seems like now all four are really on the same page. And I don't know if it's just because – I don't want to say it's, oh, because they're doing anything different or they're working better together, because, you know, that group over there is very good at working together. They've moved all the teams into the same shop, so all the crew chiefs and engineers are working right alongside each other. I just think everybody's getting a better idea of this high downforce, big spoiler package. And the Hendrick cars are showing that they've picked up on it. The drivers are getting really comfortable with it. And it probably suits some of their styles. So Chase Elliott was really fast at Darlington. Alex Bowman was fast in both races at Darlington. And so was Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy, of course, had that problem on Sunday, but he rebounded nicely on Wednesday, had a very solid progression through the field to get into the top 10. And I think the same was for William Byron as well. They didn't make as much noise as they had on Sunday, but they were there. They were getting decent finishes. So, you know, yeah, Chase has been kind of like the lead guy over there the last year and a half. But I feel like all the Hendrick cars now are on the same page. All the Hendrick cars are right there, right next to each other, and all four of them are starting to make their way further and further up into the top 10. So it's really interesting to see if maybe crew chiefs and the engineers, everybody's kind of getting their hands more wrapped around this aero package.
Yeah, well, and one final question before we let you go. I know I was noticing on the NASCAR website, I know IndyCar, because of the rules in Wisconsin, Road America, they're actually going to have fans. It was supposed to be late June. They shifted the date to have a doubleheader now just yesterday to early July. But I was looking on the NASCAR website, and it looks like June 27th at Pocono, they actually have tickets for sale. That's the first weekend. Have you heard anything? And I got to think that's kind of a tentative out there. They're selling tickets. But have you heard anything about, you know, NASCAR shifting back to having fans, you know, or anything in regards to that? I'm assuming it will be social distancing and, you know, every other seat or something like that. But I did see they were selling tickets, and I didn't know if you'd heard anything about, you know, when they're tentatively thinking about possibly bringing fans back.
Well, I haven't heard anything official. Right now we've announced the schedule up until Pocono, which does not include fans. So we don't know anything that's happening after June 21st. So I would say everything is tentative. It's, hey, if you want to take it as a good sign that the website is still listing it as selling tickets, that's great. But nothing is official. I'm very hesitant and you know, trying to be cautious of when we could say fans are going to be back at the racetrack. We don't know. Hopefully it will be sometime during the summer, but nothing has been made official by NASCAR, and everything is going to go by what local, you know, and state government officials are saying, and all, you know, CDC, everybody's still got to abide by that. So it's probably going to be on a week-to-week basis, and we probably won't know until we get closer to that race date. But as of right now, that would be the next race for June on that schedule for June 27th. It's supposed to be a doubleheader. But again, we've only officially announced everything up until about, you know, the week before that. So it's going to be one of those things where stay tuned and we'll see. So hopefully as we get, you know, we get a few more weeks down the road, NASCAR can start looking at the rest of their schedule and make some announcements.
All right. Well, Kelly, it's always a pleasure having you on air. I appreciate you, taking the time to call into the show. Hopefully at some point this year we can get together in person at one of these races. But I'm assuming if it happens, it'll probably be later in the year. But always great catching up.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
Big thanks to Kelly for calling into the show. I know she's had her hands full with the return to NASCAR. You know, check her out on Twitter if you're not already. I mean, you want to talk motorsports, she's always got articles and all kinds of content cranking for Racer Magazine. Most times it's geared towards the NASCAR side of things, but every once in a while she breaks free of that and talks about some other stuff, but just a phenomenal writer. And she's also got a podcast on our network, Kelly Crandall. She's got the Racing Writers Podcast, where she interviews some of the biggest names in NASCAR and motorsports, and you should definitely check that out. If you like the show, you're definitely going to enjoy Racing Writers Podcast. So make sure and check that one out. And like I said, she does phenomenal effort on Twitter, live tweeting during races and stuff like that. So, yeah, she's one of the good ones. I'm telling you, give her definitely give her a follow. That's for sure. So, yeah, I mean, you know, some good stuff coming out of that, you know. And I wanted to know kind of how the feeling was. And I know some of the drivers have said, you know, doing donuts in front of, you know, stands that are completely empty and celebrating. It's just got a little bit different feeling. I know I missed, I'll be honest with you, I missed the first race at Darlington, but I tuned into, you know, the one this week, and, you know, it's kind of interesting seeing all the drivers wearing masks, you know, having boom mics interview the drivers. You know, obviously you had the Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott's incident that that ended up being quite interesting, because Kyle Busch owning up to it, just saying, hey, look, I made a mistake, you know. And not often a guy like Kyle Busch makes a mistake, even an error, when he owns up to it. I you know, we had a phenomenal interview with Kyle Busch on this show, you know, earlier this year. You should go back into the archives, listen to that, because, you know, we had a great interview with Kyle. But, yeah, it's just one of those where, you know, it's been an interesting return. I'm kind of anxious to see how Supercross looks when that returns. IndyCar, I'm sure, will be very much the same way as NASCAR when they return at Texas, you know, with the empty stadiums or the empty thing. But talking about stadiums, Supercross, that's where I was getting at until I jumped ahead of myself. You know, running in stadiums where you're used to seeing jam-packed, almost, you know, basketball style or football or baseball style, being completely empty. I mean, crowds are such a integral, intimate part of Supercross. It's going to be interesting to see the way that presents itself on TV. You know, I'm kind of anxious myself to see that. You know, I'm very excited for Supercross to return, and, you know, and IndyCar as well, and all the motorsports. But, you know, Supercross is going to be one to watch. Anyways, we are going to take a short commercial break here. Chris Leone, we're going to talk all things motorsports in 2020 when we return here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, joined on the line by my media director, Chris Leone. Chris, man, it's been, well, I guess it's been a while, at least publicly on air. We talk just about every day, but we've got no power rankings. We got nothing to rank here, but we're kind of, I guess, I feel like we're in this purgatory period now where we went from full-on real racing to full-on iRacing. And now we're kind of in this purgatory where real world's starting up, iRacing's still going on, and I think maybe for, like, forever we're going to be in that same purgatory. But I kind of like it. It's like real world and sim racing have converged. But last 2 months has been a whirlwind for the iRacing community, buddy.
Oh, it certainly has, Jim. I mean, the past 2 months, NASCAR, IndyCar, IMSA, Rallycross, obviously my pet project, you name it, and it seemed like everybody came over to us on the iRacing side. And I mean, it was just, it was an incredible experience. It was very obviously gratifying, you know, to me, obviously, on the sim racing side, to see all of that, to have as many people really jump in and embrace the product as they did. I mean, you know, it's been a wild couple of months, and for us to, you know, to bring a little bit of normalcy to the people, just with some racing events, even if they were in the virtual world, you know, I think was something special and needed, and, you know, a good time, you know, certainly for everybody watching. So, you know, it was, I think we all are ready to get back to the real thing as much as we can, but man, we had some fun over the spring, didn't we?
Yeah, you know, I think the takeaway here, and I laugh because you said, man, the last 2 months, it was an experience. And I feel like somebody says that like when they go to Disney World, oh, that was an experience. It's like something that you probably you did once and you're like, yeah, I'm good if I don't do it again. And I got a feeling like everybody at iRacing is kind of that way. Like, yes, this was great. Let's not try and cram this many major televised and major live streamed events into 2 months. Let's just not make that a habit.
No, definitely. I mean, it was a crazy couple of months, but I think the only way that we get that ever again is if we have another just complete shutdown of motorsport. And here's hoping that that doesn't happen again anytime soon. We're certainly very grateful. You know, I think everybody's very grateful, first of all, for all the frontline workers who have been doing everything to try and keep things as normal as possible up to this point, but second of all, certainly for all of the motorsport promotions that have been working really hard to safely bring everybody back to racing. And, you know, I think on the iRacing side, we're just happy that we did our part to keep people entertained while everybody was locked down in their homes.
Well, and I know you didn't get a chance to listen. We just had Kelly Crandall on the show in the segment previous to this, and she was talking about just that, about, you know, she was one of only four members of the media that was invited to the weekend event at Darlington. She wasn't there, you know, for the Wednesday night race. But, you know, she had said, she goes, she was surprised. I think everybody was surprised. She goes, if somebody could make this happen to a T in real world motorsport and deliver, it was NASCAR. She goes, literally, there wasn't one hiccup. There wasn't one mistake. You know, she goes, and time will tell if, you know, somebody, you know, got COVID-19. But she says, you know, they passed with flying colors. And I think, truthfully, the world of motorsport as a whole, you know, whether it be Formula One, IndyCar, NHRA, anything going on in Europe, anything happening in the United States, I think all eyes were on NASCAR. And, you know, NASCAR had a lot of pressure, and they delivered. And to that extent, I got to tip the cap to NASCAR, because they put themselves out there. They had a real chance of hanging themselves on this deal. And, you know, and you know, once in a while they say you got to put it all on the line. And NASCAR did that. And I got to give them credit, man. They have delivered so far through two events.
Oh, no doubt. And not only that, I mean, that midweek race, I mean, I think what we're going to see is we're going to see a lot more of the 500-kilometer type events rather than the 500-mile type events, because there was a lot of urgency there. There was a lot of, you know, drivers were really mixing it up. Drivers were really, you know, fighting for it. Under the lights is always awesome. You know, primetime races are always awesome. It was really cool to see. It was a fun experiment and something people have wanted for years. So, you know, whole world's dealing with a bunch of lemons right now, but that's, at least that's some lemonade to try and deal with.
Yeah, you know, and that's funny you mentioned that, because I didn't get into that with Kelly because we ran out of time, but that's something I've been thinking. You and I have talked about this over the last couple of years. You know, NASCAR, you know, they've got this amazing legacy of motorsport in this country. And, you know, you know, obviously the Coke 600 is the longest event on the calendar. That's not going to change, you know, and Daytona, that's always going to be 500 miles. But I think, you know, a lot of these just random 500 and 400 mile races, I think with the way the consumption of sports and motorsports is in this country, I think this is going to be a nice trial for NASCAR, because I think fans, you know, being able to sit down for 4 hours on a Sunday, that's not going to happen that much anymore. And we've seen ratings dictate that, you know, but I think that packaged, you know, 3 hour, you know, nice package, you know, on a Sunday or on a Saturday night, people will get behind and they'll tune in. And I'm not saying all races need to be that short, because I think we do need those special Coca-Cola 600s and Daytona 500s and things like that. But I think moving forward, this is actually going to be a nice proof of concept or trial run for NASCAR to possibly take some of these races that don't need to be 400 and 500 miles long and shorten them up by 100 miles, you know?
No, for sure. And I mean, all of the eNASCAR iRacing Pro Invitational events, those were all 90-minute shows, you know, maximum 2 hours. And even then, they weren't really designed that way. The only time they ever really went close to 2 hours was because we were dealing with a lot of cautions because it was a short track or something like that. You know, it's just, it's been, it's really been an interesting period. We've seen everybody really trying a lot of different things, you know, things that maybe during a regular period, people might not have been daring enough to try. But when you have a blank slate, I mean, you know, and that's really what we had in front of us. I mean, especially on the iRacing side, everything has really just been like, all right, let's try different things. I mean, when was the last time you saw heats on an actual NASCAR Cup Series race? If you want to count the duels at Daytona, then that's one thing. But, you know, it's not kind of a regular thing. Whereas, you know, you go to the iRacing event at Bristol and it's two heats to set the grid. And then immediately you go, you know, a very local kind of short track racing type thing. So it's been, you know, it's certainly been an interesting period. And I think everybody's been forced to be agile, forced to adapt, which for motorsport as a whole, I think is a good thing.
You know, and it's funny you bring this up because I know you haven't had a chance to listen to the show yet. You'll go and listen back before, you know, because we're live. But to open the show today, my opening segment was just that, Chris. I said, if there's one positive, and I'm trying to keep things positive, and I said, you know, this has been horrible for the entire world, this pandemic we're in. I mean, you know, but I said, if you can take one positive of this away, it's that people have had to get creative. They've had to do things that they probably wouldn't have done. They've had to think differently. They've had to adapt. I said, you know, companies, you know, a lot of them, I mean, you look at esports and things like that. A lot of companies went, yeah, we should be involved there maybe in the next 12 to 24 months. Now it's like, oh, we need to be involved there right now. But I think even digitally with social media, people have had to get creative with live streams, with content, with any kind of digital web content. People have got creative, companies, brands, sanctioning bodies. Everybody's got creative. And I think if there's one positive that can come out of this pandemic, it's that I think we're going to see moving forward some really creativeness and in different ways people market and do things digitally. And I think that's one positive we can pull out of this whole thing that's been, you know, horrible that's happened to the world.
No doubt. I mean, the amount of races, obviously, that I've been involved with, you know, just in the digital front, I've certainly lost count at this point. But just people have talked about, hey, you know, we would love to do some of this stuff in the off season. And it's like, all right, well, now we've got things that we can possibly talk about in the holidays and get some competition together and, you know, get people racing again and maybe make the off season a little bit easier for people. You know, we've got different race formats that people have tried, different, all sorts of different things that people have tried. I mean, you know, we did the short course Triple Crown and we put stadium trucks on just full on pavement, you know, the Pro 2s on Laguna Seca. So, you know, that's just totally out there. You know, there's really just been a lot of experimentation, a lot of different things, a lot of things that, you know, people are going to be able to take to the real world if they're, you know, if they're really paying attention to what's gone on over the past couple of months. And, you know, I think adversity is something that makes us all stronger no matter what the situation is. You know, obviously this is the most probably significant human adversity in most of our lifetimes, but, you know, you come out the other end stronger as long as you make it out the other end.
Yeah, you know, and all that being said, I think I've had a lot of people come to me and they go, you know, we'd heard of esports, we'd heard of iRacing, we never paid much attention. Now you have our attention. This is great. And they're going, you know, is the bottom going to fall out of this, though, when things go to real racing? And I think everybody I've talked to, and obviously I'm a little bit biased. I will admit I am a little bit biased towards iRacing, so I can't be completely neutral. And I think you're the same way, Chris. But I tell everybody, I said, I think people have got a taste of iRacing and esports and sim racing. And I said, I don't see that going away. Now, is there going to be a little bit of a regression once real world racing starts? Well, yes. One, the big name drivers aren't going to have as much free time on their hands to go and do this. Are we going to see iRacing, you know, multiple times a week on major network television? Probably not. Let's hope at some point we do, but probably not. But I said, the community has grown, and I said, those new members that have come in, the professional drivers that have got a taste of it, you know, are they going to be able to be on there, you know, 10 times a week like they are now? No, because they're going to have to go back to driving their real race car. But that being said, I do think we're going to see them frequent the service. We're going to see them on there regularly, maybe one or two times a week instead of seven or eight. You know, but I do think, yes, we are going to have a regression, but is the bottom going to fall out of iRacing and the sim racing community? Absolutely not. You know, I think, you know, the leaps and bounds that we have grown as a community the last couple of months, I see that's very sustainable.
Oh, exactly. I mean, I've always kind of categorized it into three different, you know, three different groups of people. There are the people who were on before all of this happened, you know, and they're not going anywhere. There are the people who got on because this was all that there was. And, you know, the second that they get back to real racing, all right, full focus 100% on real racing, and that's that. And then there's the group of people who had never done it before but have taken a liking to it and are going to stick around, you know. And I think that group is actually going to be pretty sizable. So by a technical definition, if you want to look at what was going on in March and April, is there going to be a regression? I mean, certainly, because people are getting back to their normal lives. But from before the pandemic, you know, from before everybody started getting shut in and, you know, before the real world had to shut down for a couple of months, there's certainly not a regression from that point. I mean, you know, there are going to be tons and tons more people. I mean, you know, Kyle Busch is somebody who I have to give all the credit to in the world. Kyle was somebody who really came in and embraced this and wanted to run just about everything. He'd never really run it before, and has just gotten in and loved it. You know, there have been a lot of guys like that, but obviously the defending NASCAR Cup champion is one of those people who you really spotlight on that list. But, you know, there have been all sorts of guys who have just been on for the longest time, and they're certainly going to stay on. I mean, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is probably the most recognizable of those names. William Byron, another NASCAR Cup Series front runner. Guys like that, they've been around. Scott McLaughlin, yeah, you know, a supercars champion.
Ron Capps,
they've been around.
You know?
They're going to stick around.
Yeah, guys like Ron Capps, who, you know, he doesn't even race in a division that's on iRacing, and he's been a big advocate for it. You know, so we got about 60 seconds left, Chris, a little less than 60 seconds left. We got to talk about Coca-Cola 600 this weekend. I know you and I are both looking forward to having a Sunday afternoon where we can sit down, have a beer, have the barbecue running, and watch some Coca-Cola 600. What are you expecting out of this race? Who's your pick? You got 30 seconds. Give me your pick.
Madness and, oh man, I don't know. I gotta say Kevin Harvick. I think Kevin Harvick's really shown me something at Darlington, and you know, I just think he's gonna be pretty strong. I think he usually is, but I think we are gonna get madness, you know, with no practice, no qualifying. It is gonna be
Well, I know I am, you know, we're up against the time break. I will give my pick. I'm not going to dodge this bullet. I'm going to go with Chase Elliott here. But, Chris, thank you, man. I appreciate you taking the time. We got to take a short break. We'll be back after this on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels, the Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S.
and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back here to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Man, really, really good show today. I'm excited about that. Chad Reed, Kelly Crandall, Chris Leone, man, we touched on all kinds of topics. I know next week maybe we'll talk more on the schedules. We'll have a Coke 600 under our belt and a whole lot more, and, you know, maybe a big Supercross preview. See if we can maybe get another Supercross rider on the show or something like that. But, man, blockbuster show today. Thank you guys for following along. Thanks to Polaris Razor, General Tire, Vision Wheel, Rigid Industries, Dirt Fish, Optimus, GSP, XTB Axles, iRacing, all of our amazing partners in the show. I'm at JimBeaver15 on social media. Give me a follow. You're looking for a couple of coupon codes, I got some for you. JimBeaver15, that'll get you 15% off at our good friends at Dirt Fish Rally School. iRacing, yeah, you want to go racing with the best online? Yes, iRacing's got you handled. PR-JimBeaver, that will get you 15% off. 50, getting tongue-tied there. 50% off there at iRacing. Yes, check it out. It is worth the price of admission, hands down, and you're going to have a hell of a lot of fun. So, we're going to sign off for this week here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Make sure and check out Project Action this week. I got a director's cut of my Chad Reed interview. I think you guys are going to love that. Check out my other podcast, All Things Awesome, as well. All right, signing off this week here from the Down and Dirty Show studios here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Ha 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 ha!